Welcome to Car Free Conversation. I'm Domenico.
And I'm Sumitra.
And this is a podcast where we talk about making the most of St. Pete without the use of a car. And today we're going to talk about some new legislation that is being worked on that will be affecting the TSTA. How are you doing, Sumitra?
I'm doing good. You know, I wasn't there for the legislative session, but Dom was there. So Dom is going to update me on, you know, what happened in this meeting. The meeting was open to public, as I believe, right?
Yeah, so it was a legislative delegation meeting. So it's a meeting of the state representatives and senators that represent our region. And basically, they were deciding on which bills they were going to be taking to the state legislature. And the PSTA bill, which was sponsored by Linda Cheney, was really the main bill that they were discussing. There was one other bill, but I don't know too much about it. And it was a very minor bill, apparently, that just kind of corrects some language in the state statute.
Okay. And what was the PSTA bill about?
Good question. So, I'm going to just talk about it briefly on a sort of very surface level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk about sort of Linda Cheney's purpose, her reasoning behind it. So Linda Cheney has stated that the intent of this bill is to increase accountability and transparency of the TSTA. What the bill actually does, in my opinion, does not really do that. It actually just changes control of the TSTA. So one of the big things that it does is change the composition of the board. So right now, the TSTA has a board, and it's fairly diverse, and it has representatives from around the Pinellas County region. Right. There's three people from St. Pete on it. There's someone from Largo. There's different people on it. Right. And I believe it's quite a few people. I think it has like 15 people on the board. And so Linda Cheney wanted to shrink that board down to originally 9, but then she added 2. So it's 11. But the big issue about that I think is problematic is that she wants it to be mainly composed of county commissioners and then represent people who are appointed by the state.
Okay.
And so that's the major change that it does to the PSTA. It also restricts some of the ways that the PSTA can use funding, particularly when it comes to promotional material. And then originally it actually was going to, put additional restrictions on the, the CEO of the PSTA. They wanted, it originally stated the CEO had to have some private industry experience, but that was removed. And it also limits the PSTA's ability to, do what they did with the Sunrunner, where they converted a lane to a bus rapid transit lane.
Right.
So those are some of the main items on this bill.
Okay. That's really interesting that like all these are really major changes to how PSTA's governance works. And also, I mean, I'm not sure what. So PSTA, the last amendment where PSTA can't take a lane and convert it to a bus rapid transit, how does that affect the transparency or accountability of a transit agency?
Right. So a lot of it seems like it doesn't really help increase transparency or accountability, right? It just shifts power, right? So it's deceptive. I think Linda Cheney wasn't really straightforward when she chose her words when describing what she wanted to do with this bill. So, you know, and I think one of the major problems is that it changes the representation of the board so that it's right. less local and will be less effective, right? People, it needs to be local, you know.
Yeah.
Decisions like this need to be made locally, you know. It affects the local people. We need people who are familiar with the area and care about transit.
Right.
And it really comes down to, I think that one thing that came out during this meeting was that there were a lot of people that just do not like transit. There were a lot of people that do not like the transit agency sort of you know, pushing out these very helpful programs, especially mm-hmm. the Sunrunner. I think the Sunrunner was a big point of contention, it seems like. And ultimately, it came out, this isn't very apparent in the bill, but during this meeting, it came out that there is an effort to privatize our transit agency. Right now, the PSTA is funded by tax dollars, right? It is a government agency, right? And it is a public good, just like
yeah.
roads are a public good, just like our elementary schools are, just like our streetlights are, sidewalks, those are all public goods. They're not profitable, right?
Yeah.
And so there seems to be a lot of frustration with this idea of tax money going into this transit agency that isn't profitable. Just for whatever reason, there are people that feel like this shouldn't be a public good and this should be a profit-earning agency. And so they want it to be privatized. There were even Linda Cheney actually suggested at the end that instead of funding public transit, we should just give everyone Uber vouchers so they could just take Ubers to where it needs to go, which is an absurd idea because that's just not going to work. I would love to just hail an Uber for free every time I wanted to go somewhere, but that's going to cost a lot more than what we're spending on public transit.
For listeners who can't see me, my jaw is on the floor.
It is.
That is the craziest idea I have ever heard.
It is, but it was brought up a few times, and Linda Cheney at the end was like, for the amount that we're spending on public transit, we could just give Uber rides to everyone. And I was like, no, we can't.
That's not the point. Also, I mean, this is like an age-old question, and I think, you know, lots of municipalities have been grappling with how to have a sustainable transit agency that works for all. And like, yes, like providing a good, sustainable, robust, reliable public transit is a job of the county, the city, the state. Like it's literally the backbone of any civilized society that like has a good public transit, right? Like people need to go from point A to point B. And if we want to reduce traffic, if we want to reduce greenhouse emissions, if we want to like tackle all these issues, like investing in our public transit should be our goal, not the other way around. Anyway, like PSTA is like the least funded transit agency of its size in the country. And I can't believe like we are still grappling with like, or like we have like these people have issues that we spend too much money on it. Like that's bonkers idea to me.
Yeah, and I even, you know, I went up to speak and I even said, you know, we haven't increased, the PSTA hasn't increased their millage rate. So the millage rate is like basically the tax right. rate people, and they haven't increased it. And they've done a really good job at managing the funding that they get, you know, because we're growing very quickly, you know.
Right.
And so the transit should really grow exponentially to accommodate
yeah.
all the growth, you know. But there was a lot of there was a lot of this. I shouldn't say a lot. There were a few very loud people that did not like how much money was being spent on the transit agency. Linda Cheney went on to actually bash the award that the PSTA was recently giving. So the PSTA was recently given a national award, naming it the best transit agency of its size. Linda Cheney said that award was not worthy of being mentioned because she felt that it was too subjective, which is really interesting because there was a lot of public comment that mentioned this award, right? It's a big deal, right? It's like the Academy Awards of public transit agencies, as Creative Logan put it. And so Linda Cheney waited until the very end when she made her final remarks to say, by the way, this award that everybody is saying is highly subjective and has nothing to do with transportation effectiveness. And our CEO of the PSTA was actually on the award selection board or something, you know, which, you know, I'm sure he recused himself when it came down to
voting for himself. Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear these criticisms. There was also, I really want to mention this. There was a lot, there were several people that went up to talk about the lanes, right? So the Sunrunner, when it was implemented, as most of you know, the Sunrunner is the bus rapid transit. So part of that program is to convert one lane of traffic down First Avenue South and First Avenue North in St. Pete to be a bus dedicated lane, and the cars will use when turning, right? And there was a lot of, I keep saying a lot, but it really was very, the public comment was really split 50-50. I kept track of everybody that was speaking, and it was pretty split down the middle. There were people that were passionate against, and there were people that were passionate for, you know, the bill. But there were people that were mentioning that they want their lanes back. I want my lane back, you know, and it's funny because the traffic since the lane closure on those streets hasn't changed much, which is actually surprising because we've had so many more people move to the area. So you would think that just that alone would cause the traffic to really get bad, but I guess what I'm expecting. But down First Avenue North and First Avenue South, those two streets haven't gotten more congestion.
No.
We've gotten congestion on other streets. I've seen a lot of congestion on 4th. I've seen traffic on 275, but I haven't seen much more congestion on 1st Avenue North and South. So it's interesting that people are just, I think on principle, they are annoyed with having the lanes removed.
And, you know, it's, I mean, all the people who like use the bus aren't in their cars, which literally reduces how many cars are on the road. So like these people who are like, they're so lazy to walk, like just those few hundred meters, but like it's mind boggling that there is like so much opposition to like just taking away one lane on a three lane, one way street. It's also like a city street, like calm down, you know, it's like, there is like, it's a city street. It's not a highway.
It's also three lanes, right?
Yes.
Most of it's three lanes, which is like way too wide for a street that goes through the city. Like
yes.
That,
yeah.
Because people have to cross that street, you know, it shouldn't be a highway. And I think, like you said, I think that we are used to creating highways out of arterial roads or just roads that are going through town. You know, just a main thoroughfare doesn't need to be a highway, you know, like sometimes you just need a street to get someone need for that. And the other thing that was interesting is that, you know, at the end, Linda Cheney, she said, she made this statement that I thought was funny. She's like, if St. Pete wants to get rid of their roads, they can, but we're not getting rid of our roads, which I thought was a really interesting statement because, so Linda Cheney, I believe she hails from St. Pete Beach. Don't quote me on that, but she's not in the city of St. Pete. But the thing is, the PSTA didn't remove lanes in St. Pete Beach. It just removed lanes in the city of St.
Yeah.
Pete.
Yeah.
There was coordination there. It's not like PSTA isn't this all-powerful entity that came in and was like, you know, just like went took a paintbrush down through the area and just
Gulf Boulevard. Right.
So it worked with the city, and that's how they came up with this solution of having this lane that's dedicated for buses and cars when there's it's a turning lane. It's a turning lane all the way.
Right. Traffic. Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought that was like a really interesting statement. There was also, and this was a bit heartbreaking. I didn't really understand the restriction that was being placed on the what they called the advertising sort of restrictions that they were placing.
Yeah,
I didn't understand what that meant when I was reading the bill, but when I was there in person, it became very clear that there is frustration amongst people, and I don't think it's people in St. Pete. I think it's people out in I think I don't think it's people in the city of St. Pete. I think it's people. I do think it is more. It's some of the loud people, you know, Linda Cheney constituents or whatnot. There was frustration with the PSTA's participation in Pride events, and so there is promotional money that the PSTA used to purchase, you know, like swag that they gave out at Pride to encourage people to ride transit. And there was also a special bus that was designed with the local that commemorated Pride. And if you haven't seen if
the Pride wrap,
haven't seen it's a bus wrap, right? And if they haven't seen it, it's just a bunch of dolphins on a bus. A bunch of colorful dolphins on the bus, like a Lisa Frank bus, basically.
They can stay mad, honestly.
I'm all for making the buses look nice and fun and accessible.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the idea of limiting what they can do and how they can do that is, I think, just a little heartbreaking, right? I just don't see why the PSC can't use its funds to make riding their services, using their services, more appealing to the public, right? And handing out promotional material and decorating the buses. They also decorated the buses for Black History Month, I believe.
Yeah.
This restriction would limit what they can do. And I believe she made an amendment at the very last minute that was approved that allows the PSTA to do the like a bus wrap for public holidays and veterans. So she made exceptions.
Yawn.
But you know, I remember we spoke with someone from PSTA once about you know, I asked Evan at PSTA, I was like, oh, how do you choose which bus wraps you're going to do? You know? And he gave me a really honest and straightforward answer that was just like, you know, it has to do with, you know, who has the time in PSTA and the energy to coordinate that, right? Because it's a huge effort, right? You have to
get
an artist involved. You have to coordinate with the artist. You have to coordinate with the printer. There's a lot of work. And so it really just comes down to just where they have that time and energy and budget to spend. Because it sounds like he was down to having a bus wrap for almost any, you know, for anything.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But it really comes down to that. And he did note that they are very careful about making sure that the bus wraps and their promotional material are not politically aligned.
Yes.
Right? So that is a no-no, right? That they cannot do. But events like Pride or Black History Month are not political event, right?
Or like having dolphins on a bus is not political,
This is
right?
the least political thing I can think of. So that was a bit, I think, heartbreaking to hear that that was their motivation. That they it's sad to hear that that people feel some type of way, a negative way, about some of the good things, I think, that the PSD is doing.
Yeah, and then so all the amendments were approved, or like what was the
the amendments were approved. So there were a few amendments. One was again clarifying the advertising restriction so that it allows for the money to be used for promotional material for veterans and public holidays. It also removed a free fare restriction. So originally, the bill prevented the PSP from giving free fares out to anyone. And this changed it. So they can do
okay.
that. And I have a feeling that the reason they eased up on that is because there has been some publicity lately about how they've given free fares to veterans, right? Which is great. And so I think that maybe that influence that, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
They removed the restriction on the CEO, and then they increased the board members to 11. And originally, some of the board members were going to be appointed by the governor, which. Yeah, again, I don't
I
know.
Mean, yeah,
I
it's
don't
just
want the
like,
state deciding who's going to be on our
yeah,
local.
Yeah.
But she changed it, and I'll be honest, I don't quite know who she changed it to. It's being appointed by someone else. But it is someone, I believe, at the state level. So those amendments were approved. Then there was public comment, and there were quite a few people that spoke for and against the bill. And in the end, the representatives and senators that were there voted on the bill, and there was a majority in favor of the bill with Representative Roussan, Representative Cross and Rayner. They voted a no. So those three voted no, the rest voted yes.
Okay.
And so basically the bill now moves forward to the state legislature with the support of the local delegation.
Okay.
So it still has work to do. It probably
right.
will evolve, right?
Yeah.
Once it's up there, they probably will start making changes to it. And then it will be voted on by our House of Representatives and by the Senate.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have started a petition.
Okay.
We'll see if we can post the link online with this podcast. I started a petition to oppose this bill, and hopefully we can get enough signatures on it to show how much we support the PSTA in its current form. It's on change.org. If anybody wants to go on change.org and just look it up, I'm sure it's pretty easy to find. So far, I think we have about 100. So hopefully we can get some more.
What do you know what the full link is?
The full URL for the petition?
Yeah.
It's like a long one.
That's fine.
It's like change.org / P / oppose the proposed changes. So I think it would probably make more sense to go to change.org and search for oppose the proposed changes to the legislation governing PSTA.
And we will also post that link when this episode airs, so that people have a chance to just click on that link as well. And I'm hoping we can also post it on the Car Free St. Pete website so that people have a chance to go to it as well. But this is your own personal petition, right?
I created this petition, but I just looked at it now and it looks like we just got 96 more people. So we're at 150.
Okay.
Well, this week, not that much time has passed, I guess. This week we got 96 more people. So we're at 150. So I guess let's keep this ball rolling. But yeah, it was an interesting, I have to say, going to this meeting was interesting, and I encourage people to attend more of these sort of public hearings. A lot of good points were raised. Representative Cross, you know, she pointed to some other initiatives that we have, local initiatives like the Live Local Act and the idea of transit-oriented development. And she made some really good points about how necessary the PSTA is and how this effort to sort of privatize the PSTA misguided, right? It doesn't service the people. And then Rainer, she's great. She was really asking the tough questions. You know, why her big point was why is this bill necessary?
Yeah.
You know, and there really wasn't a good response to that. You know, she's like, what is the PSTA? How has the PSTA failed so hard, so miserably, that we have to change the composition like this? You know, I don't understand the purpose of this. And she pointed out that she's gotten a lot of angry, you know, about it, and she felt that it doesn't service her constituency. So there were a lot of really good, interesting points brought up, and you learn a lot of these. So I would encourage people to attend council meetings, attend things like this whenever you hear about them. If you go on the Pinellas County website or the City of St. Pete website, they post these.
Hey, thank you for updating me about this legislative meeting, Dom. That was really helpful. Just understanding where everything is in terms of like the legislation, and thank you for starting the change.org petition as well, so that we can, you know, really get some public support behind PSTA.
Yeah, awareness is really important, because one thing I found is that not a lot of people are aware that this is even happening. And I feel like our area, like Pinellas County, I mean, really the whole Tampa Bay region is changing so much, and it sometimes feels like a lot of things are happening behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And I think this is an example of how changes are happening that are affecting us, and we don't know what they're going on.
Right.
So I really hope people listen to this and learn about what's happening so they can at least be aware and take part in the process.
Yeah. Thank you for telling me about this today. And I hope we can keep the ball rolling with the petition.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners can join us on that petition as well. So please go to the link in the episode notes. It should be there when this episode is posted. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Car Free Conversations.
Please follow us on social media. We are Car Free St. Pete on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter.